I'm going to start with a few prophetic words, if you don't mind. Is that okay? John, do you mind standing up? Thank you so much for leading us in worship today. You've done an amazing job. I had a word for you a bit earlier today. I don't know what John means in the Bible, but I'm sure you must know. Sorry? Beloved of God, so that's good. I like how in the book of John he describes himself as Jesus' favorite. And I felt like that's what God was saying about you today, that you're his favorite. And that you have the ability to hear his secrets. And that God wants to invite you to sit by him and to like lean on his shoulder and just to listen more into his heart and the secrets of his heart. Because he's got specific secrets to tell you about his majesty and his creation and stuff that you are to bring to the world and to translate to the world. Do you write songs? Because I feel like it's in writing songs that you're going to express the majesty and the glory of God and secrets that he's going to tell you. Do you have any children? Okay. I just saw you as... Okay. Sorry. Do you teach music? Okay. I'm sorry. I sometimes get it wrong, but God still loves me, so I'm good. I just saw you teaching, but not really teaching as in, you know, being in front of a classroom or something, but rather that mentoring, and that God was bringing you people that were needing mentoring in the area specifically of worship and specifically of music, and it's not necessarily people that are younger than you, it's just people that you are leading into worship in a different way and mentoring into that direction specifically. And I also saw that you're a man of multiple talents. I guess you can play more than just the guitar. And that you have the ability to just find out about this weird instrument and know how to play with it in a few hours. And so that's something that God has given specifically to you and that he wants to use. It's like you're a multifaceted diamond.
Can I add some more? I don't know if this is right. We really step out here, you know, and so we can get it wrong. But I see you as a peacemaker, as somebody that brings peace into situations. I don't know what your work is or what you do, but I also see, and I feel like that there is a change of direction that is coming. So, yeah, I just leave that with you. I don't know whether that is a change of direction in your work or in where you're living or what, but I just feel like there's a change of direction that's coming.
Brilliant. I had something as well about all the floods and the water that is happening today. I come from France and I was born in Paris. I grew up for most of my life in Paris, but at some point, because life happened, my parents moved in the south of France into this beautiful area that is called the Cévennes, and the south of France is a place where it hardly ever rains. So I spent beautiful years in being, you know, the warmth and being dry and all those wonderful things that I've lost since I've been in England. But it's okay. I know why I'm here, so I'm good. But I was just asking God what it meant, or what all this, if there was something that he wanted to say through this whole water. And he brought me back to the Cévennes, which is an area in the south of France where there has been this huge revival 500 years ago, where kids started prophesying, babies starting preaching, people just came back to reading the word of God. Well, actually, they were the first Protestants in that area. And I just felt like There's something in this event that happens twice a year. We call it an episode. And it's 3 days of non-stop rain. And it just happens usually in September or October, and then another one in March or April, and then that's it. But during those 3 days, you've got non-stop rain, you've got floods everywhere, it's like panic. It's just for 3 days, and then life comes back to normal, and the sun comes back to normal. And I just felt like God was saying, not that it's going to rain for 3 days and that's going to be chaos and panic, hopefully not, but rather that God was talking about opening wells like the ones that had been opened in this event during that revival, wells of healing, wells of the prophetic, and also that ability to preach from the Bible, like to share the word of God and share the glory and the goodness of God from the Bible, and that ability would be given to random people, so not just scholars or anything, but that it's giving access to the glory of God to all. Does that make any sense? And then one last tiny word. Are there any engineers in the room today? Yay! Awesome! God has been speaking to me about your profession lately. As Fiona mentioned, I am an absolute fan of The Lion King. I've seen the show almost everywhere. It's on my dream list to see it in South Africa because, you know, that's where it's going to sound really, really, really awesome. So, but the last time I saw it, I was amazed by the amount of technicality that is on the set and about how creative it is to just think about those solutions. And a few days after that, I was walking around London and I went into that area where they've got all these bridges. It's called St. Catherine Docks, I think it is. And you've got all these different bridges that respond differently when a boat needs to come. So there's one where there's a wheel, there's one that opens, there's one that retracts and comes back. And again, God spoke to me about the creativity of the minds behind those things. And I just felt like for you engineers in the room, you may feel that what you do is just technical or that it's just about science, but I just felt like God wants to remind you that you're filled with His Spirit and that you've got His creativity and that you see from His point of view and that you're not just resourceful or scientific, but that you actually have the mind of Christ. Okay, we're going to keep talking about healing. My friends have done an amazing job this morning and this afternoon, so I'm not sure I have any much more to add. But if you're okay, can I just tell my story? If you agree. And then if you don't agree, well, I'm really sorry. But I'm going to say it anyway. So as you've heard, people call me either Irene or Irene, but my real name in French is Irene, and I am French. I don't mind how you call me. At work, people call me Princess, so, you know, you can pick whichever you want, or Your Majesty. Because Irene and Irene actually rhyme with Queen in both languages, and I think it's super cool. But my name just tells the world who I am. I think it's important. But yeah, so that's why people call me Princess. You'll realize through my story that, you know, there are reasons. I've been a Christian since I was 8. I'm the third generation of Christians in my family. So my grandparents lived in Africa. They were the first of each side to become Christians. And my grandmother prayed that all her kids and grandkids would be Christians. And it happened. So I had a really great childhood in a nice Christian family. I am my parents' favorite. Everybody would tell you that. Although I know that my parents love me and my brothers unconditionally, but I just grew up with that knowledge that my parents loved me and that I could ask them whatever I wanted. I remember my dad was a missionary, and he used to teach all sorts of very complex stuff. But every time I would come in the room, he would just pay attention to me, whatever he was doing. So that, from the start, told me that I was important. And that, from the start, also gave me a picture of how God saw me, that I could approach him with the same, actually, I'm the most important person in the room, kind of attitude. Unfortunately, I have been ill for a great, great, great part of my life. It started with asthma when I was a kid. Then I had anorexia through my teenage years and young adult. And then followed by a lot of intestinal nasty issues. And to finish the whole thing, I had endometriosis on my 30th birthday, just the day before it started. So this whole string of being ill all the time started to color my beliefs and the way I saw, kind of the way I saw God. Although I knew he loved me, there was always this thing that was like, but if he loves me so much, then why can't I run with everybody? Or why can't I eat what I want? Or why does it hurt so much, depending on what condition I was on? So I knew God was good, I knew God loved me because I read the Bible, I knew all those verses, but there was still that thing that was a bit odd. And when the Bible describes God as a healer or talks about Jesus healing everybody, it was very abstract for me. And because I was, most of the time, I grew up in churches where healing was a theory more than, you know, a reality. We just accommodated the fact that we were not healed and it was okay. But at some point, I think for some reason, healing started to happen. And it's just by the sheer goodness of God. I remember one day realizing that I had used an inhaler for months. And I can't tell you what happened. Nobody prayed for me. It just stopped. And I haven't used an inhaler since. I fell into, like, I had anorexia for a few years, and I wasn't one of those teenagers who want to be skinny because I was already skinny. I had anorexia because it was my way of controlling the world. So if anything bad happened to me or anything I couldn't understand, I would stop eating because it would just make sense for me, kind of thing. So you can imagine in your teenage years, there are lots of issues and stuff that happen. So I just stopped eating for a few years. And at some point, God did something. I did not pray for it. I suspect my friends and family were praying, but nobody told me. But at some point, I started eating again. It wasn't pleasant, but I got healed. And I never fell back since. So I'm still aware that it could be an issue in my life because of those reasons, but I haven't fell back into anorexia since, as you can see. God is good. And then after all those years, I had a few years that were okay, but my internal system started to act up, and there was a list of food that I couldn't eat anymore. So I couldn't eat, I think raw vegetables, tomatoes, ice cream, dairy. Like, it just became, I couldn't eat a lot of stuff. So, and I was in pain after every meal, and life was just complicated. And that's around this time in my life, so I was in my 20s, that I started meeting very crazy people who actually believed in healing, who said that it was possible. I don't know if you've heard of Julian Adams. So I met Julian Adams in France. I was asked to translate for him. And I thought, this guy is crazy. He speaks funny. He says funny things about God, and he seems to believe them, and things seem to happen around him, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just thinking, I do not want to be next to this guy. But at the same time, I love God, and I really love serving him with my gifts. And one of my gifts is to translate. So I couldn't really refuse that one. So I just stood there translating and seeing all those people being impacted, people falling on the floor, people being healed, people being prophesied over. And I was just thinking, oh God, please let me go. But we've had very fun conversations about healing and what was happening in his world. At the same time, I met with Pete Carter, who was traveling with him. And he has those amazing teachings about healing that opened up a whole realm for me, because I was meeting people who actually believed that the Bible was telling the truth and they were acting upon it, and they were not making excuses for the times when it doesn't work. Does it make sense? So they were recognizing that sometimes you pray for people and it doesn't work and it hurts, but we're going to still pray for people to be healed. So I was like, okay, that's a new world. Let's see what happens. And on that first, I think it was that first conference, maybe the first or the second conference I did with them, Julian had a word of knowledge about intestinal issues, and he described exactly my symptoms. So all my friends who were in the room were just looking at me like, we know it's you. Are you going to stand up? And I was thinking, I am not standing up, and I'm not going to the front. I'm not playing that game. If God wants to heal me, he can heal me just right here. I'm a little stubborn. And I have those very interesting conversations with God. God wins all the time, but he lets me speak. So I was like, no, I'm not moving. And then he said, Julian said from the front, actually, this time I'm not going to ask people to come to the front. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are, and your friends can come and pray with you. Yes. So my friends came, they prayed for me, and the only thing I could feel was just like huge pain in my stomach. And I thought, God, if that is healing, I think we need to have another conversation. But God is really good. I think he must have been laughing in heaven, because he must have thought, you have no idea of what's coming. But anyway, I had that huge pain in my body. And then I thought, oh, I need to go and lie down and rest. So I went, before the end of the evening, I went into my bed, rested. And the next morning I thought, well, actually, he had that word of knowledge. I might be healed, so I'm just going to try. And so I think I had a normal breakfast, but it was okay. And then my brother took me to the restaurant, and I ordered everything I couldn't eat. Like, everything. And it went fabulously. I got healed that day. It was just absolutely awesome. And then I had a few more years of bliss and health and everything. And the day before my 30th birthday, I started to have like horrible cramps and pain. And it lasted for about four or five years. And it got diagnosed as endometriosis. So if you do not know what it is, I'm going to give you a few details. It's a condition that only affects women, and it's like some of the cells in your uterus migrate where they shouldn't migrate, and they colonize their environment, and they act a little like chewing gum, and they kind of stick your organs together. So for some people, it's very painful. For others, it's not really painful, but whatever happens, it just... it prevents your body to function normally. My version of endometriosis was super painful, like 24/7 pain. It's a bit like the contractions that you have when you're going to have a baby. So just imagine that scale all the time, with different intensities, but that was it for about 4 years. But when it happened, I was already in a time of my life where I had seen healing, I had experienced healing, and although it was hard, I wasn't going to let endometriosis win, if you see what I mean. And so what I'd like to share today with you is how through this I just grew in faith, and how through what I've been through I just learned to trust God in a different way. I remember it's about that time when I met other crazy people like, you know, Bill Johnson or Chuck Perry or, you know, those crazy people. I remember thinking, actually, God loves me. And that's a truth, that it's, the Bible tells me that God loves me. So I had to come back to the reality of what does the book say about God? Because when you're in pain 24/7, or when you have to go through these horrible hospital appointments, or, you know, when you have to live with the consequences of taking all these pills and medicine. I remember there was one time when I had to take 17 pills a day. It was just ridiculous. And I know that it can be worse, but it was just absolutely ridiculous. I just had to come back to the truth of, okay, this is what I know about God. God is good, and he loves me. So no, he did not send that for me. It was never a gift. He's going to turn this good, like, he's going to turn this into good for me, because that's what he does. But he never wanted me to suffer, because that's not what a good God wants for me. And so I had to go back to the Bible that says, you know, God is love in John, in Deuteronomy, that God is God and he's faithful and he keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him. I'm generation number 3 of Christians. He still loves me. God is faithful. God is powerful. Nothing is impossible to him. And I know that there are bits of the Bible where he's described as a God who is angry, but the sacrifice of Christ paid the price for everything that I could have done to anger God. So my pain can't have anything to do with his anger. Do you see what I mean? And I also came back to, no, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If some of you have been ill for a long time, you have heard a lot of helpful and unhelpful stuff from people. And for me, it was vital to just come back to, actually, this is what the Bible tells me. He loves me. He created me in his image. When he created me, he was like, this is good. And endometriosis was not part of the plan. Pain was not part of the plan. He wants me to prosper. So when God sent Jesus to take all the sin of the world, he took with him all the reasons that could separate me from God. So even if I'm feeling, even if I'm attacked by sickness or something, this is not something that God wanted for me. It's just something that happens because we live in a fallen world. And I don't know why. And as Fiona was saying, why is never the question. I just realized I'm a scholar. I need to have answers for everything. I read the dictionary as my, you know, I have a Bible and a dictionary next to my bed. They're my favorite books. So knowing why has always been vital for me. But I just quickly learned that with sickness, actually, why is not going to take me anywhere, because there is no possible reason for that to happen. Absolutely none. And so I had to come back to, Jesus has conquered death. He's healed every single person who came to him. Every single person who wanted to be healed got healed in the Bible. So I just stuck to that truth that every single person who came to Jesus got stuck. I just have to come to Jesus. And if I don't get healed the first time people pray for me, I just have to come back. And it's okay. I'm coming back. And the days I feel like I can't come back, someone else will do it for me. I was also comforted by the fact that endometriosis is actually in the Bible. The lady that was bleeding, she had endometriosis, because it's one of the aspects of the condition. So I just stuck to that story. I am actually in the Bible. So what happened once can happen again. Jesus can do it again. And what else did I say? Yeah. And then I started to, after coming back to the reality of who God is and what he says about me, I started to look at what he was doing in the real world. So not only in the Bible, but what do Christians do? What are the healings that are happening in the world? What are the miracles that are happening in the world? And that's, as I said, at this time that I started to speak with Bill. I translated for Bill Johnson a few times and for other Bethel people. So I just listened to what they were saying. I try to be thorough when I translate for someone. So I listened to Bill Johnson for months before I translated for him, just to understand how he speaks, his favorite words and turns of phrases and everything, so that I can be fast enough when I translate for them. And I just realized that he's got so many awesome stories. And he's got stories of successes, and he's got stories of not succeeding. But he still keeps his faith in God. So I just feasted on the stories of successes, and I learned from the stories when, you know, success wasn't happening or people were not getting healed, just to encourage myself. And if I can encourage you, just go onto one of those, if you're on Facebook, go on the Facebook accounts of those healing room guys. Their stories are just awesome, absolutely awesome. Last week, I think, Chuck Perry posted something about a girl who came into the healing rooms and she had her foot turned in or something like that, and so she dragged her foot. She was four, and she couldn't run or she couldn't play with her family. And she came into the healing rooms with her whole family, and they were in the first room where it's just worship. So no one prays for you. It's just worship. And her sister started crying. Sorry. Because she saw her younger sister running around without tripping on her foot. She hadn't even been prayed for. It was just that kind of miracle. They made me cry because of the goodness of God and because of the reality that he can do it. He can do it. Waiting for your miracle is painful, but in the midst of it, we can celebrate whatever he does and just feed from it. And then all those crazy people encouraged me to actually go and pray for other people, because if they can see miracles, actually, I can. The Bible tells me that I'm the temple of the living God. So the same God that lived in Jesus lives in me. The same powerful God that lived in Jesus lives in me. The same powerful God who healed people while he was on earth lives in me. And the same God that lives in Bill Johnson actually lives in me. The same God that lives in Pete Carter lives in me. So I can do it as well. So I got encouraged to try and pray for people. And I saw miracles as well. And I remember seeing someone being healed from endometriosis before I got healed. But it's okay. And I realized that a few years ago, I would have been disappointed that it wasn't me. But actually, I was so excited that for someone it stopped. So that meant that all of a sudden, there was a reality of this is actually possible. It's not just, you know, people in wheelchairs or people with other, like, sicknesses. It can happen to me as well, because it happened to that lady when I prayed for her. So that encouraged me to pray for other people. And just to come back to the reality that, yeah, Christ is in me. He's the hope of glory. And I am in Christ all the time. So, and he's in me all the time. So we're working together all the time. And then one day I was at a conference, I think it was in the south of France, and I was translating for Chuck Perry and his interns. I can't remember what it was. And it was a time when I was having it really bad at the time. I was on morphine, and I had to take medication every 2 hours. And it was just because I had to wait for 2 hours, but I was in pain 24/7, like in excruciating pain 24/7. But I'd said I was going to translate for that conference, so I went, and they went on for 3 hours. And I was thinking, oh God, this is going to be really painful when I stop. But, you know, I kept going and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the 3 hours of talking, they said, I think there's an angel here for you, and he's got a gift. So this was 4 years ago. I hadn't been through doing the School of Supernatural. I was happy to serve God with my gift of translation, but that didn't mean that I believed in angels or all that kind of stuff. So I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to be nice and polite to the guy who's speaking, and I'm not going to question this whole angel thing. And I just said, okay, so what am I supposed to do? He said, just stand here and put your hands in front of you. I was thinking, well, good thing it's chaos in the room, so nobody can actually see me. So I just stood there, and I put my hands in front of me. And I fell in the spirit. It was the first time I fell, I think. I just fell on the floor. Apparently, I was on the floor for about 15 to 20 minutes. The stories differ, but I can't remember at all. And I came back, and I started laughing. And I couldn't stop laughing for about 10, 15 minutes. You have to understand that with the cramps of endometriosis, every time I laughed, it was costly. So, and we are a family where we do laugh a lot, so you can imagine that those years of sickness had been interesting. But I was thinking, oh God, I need to stop laughing because this is going to be terrible. And I couldn't stop laughing. People tried to help me off the ground. They couldn't, so I laughed more and more. And then at some point, I finally sat on a chair, and I realized that the pain had stopped. And I thought, this is weird. Okay. I came back home to my mom, and I told her of what happened, and that the pain had stopped, and that I didn't really know what to do. She said, well, we've been praying for long enough. So we're going to actually believe that God healed you. And we'll see what happens. If you're in pain during the night, I'll take you to A&E. So off I went to bed, woke up the next morning, nothing. Then a second day, still no pain. Then I started posting on Facebook because I am that kind of person. So I started posting on Facebook that it was my third day without pain, and then fourth day, and then fifth day, and it's been 4 years! That was super cool. The first thing that stopped for me was the pain. And then I went to see the doctors, and I had to have MRIs every other month. And I went to see the doctors, and I had my MRI, and waited and waited. And then this guy comes and tells me, we have an unusual situation. Your MRI is not consistent, so we think that the machine is broken. Because this doesn't make sense with your condition. So would you mind coming back in a month's time once we fix the problem? Because there must be a problem. I said, yeah, sure. No worries. And I came back the next month, and the same doctor told me, well, it's very strange, because you've got less and less endometriosis. So I've had a few MRIs to check, and it just came back to, at some point, I had nothing left. So my doctor told me with a huge smile that he didn't need to see me anymore. But all through this time, I just feasted on the testimonies and on the reality of what God says. Fiona was talking earlier about the power of the tongue, and that life and death is in the tongue, and that what you say and what you declare over you is important. And at this point in my life, without really realizing it, I started declaring stuff over me, that God loved me, that he wanted good things for me, that Jesus heals, he heals today, etc., etc. And with